Last week on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll cited the natural progression most parents feel over the span of their child-rearing years. When the kids are young, it all seems so simple. And then the teen years come along when providing leadership gets a little more complicated. But when our sons and daughters stretch their wings and fly from the nest, it's imperative we learn how to relate to one another as adults. Moms and dads need to know when to speak up and when to stay quiet. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids.
Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 32. Let's draw from these verses six two-word principles that apply to all who are in the process of rearing now grown kids. Number one, from verse 25, speak truth. That's right from the scriptures. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor. Let's use the word family member, with his or her family member. In other words, when you are dealing with your grown-up adult in the family, you're to talk straight. You're to tell the young adult the truth. Now look at the next verse. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. My principle is be passionate. Don't be passive. There's a third. Verse 28. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who is in need. So here it is. Stop stealing. How can we steal from our children? We can steal their freedom. We can steal the freedom of our adult children to decide things on their own. We can so control them that they haven't learned how to make wise or responsible decisions because we've stolen from them out of our intense control of their lives. Every wise parent fosters the idea of independent thinking. A person doesn't just suddenly, when he turns 21 or she turns 21, become a responsible adult. They've learned along the way responsibility. We steal from our growing up kids if we continue doing for them what they need to start doing for themselves. Here's number four. We're down to verse 29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so it will give grace to those who hear. Ready for the next one? Stop yelling. Families that yell at each other are no longer in harmony with each other, and they're no longer growing together. They're growing apart. Yelling doesn't make the kid hear what we have to say. Anytime you find it necessary to scream or yell at an adult child, you've lost control. You're in lockdown. They're not learning. Unwholesome words include cursing, threatening, sarcastic put-downs, caustic comments that cause your adult kid to disrespect you. Parents who yell encourage kids to rebel. Before long, there is such disrespect that you realize you really have lost control. So look closely at this. Let no unwholesome word, the word means putrid. It is used for rotting vegetables or meat. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. That's the negative. But only such a word as is good for building them up. Yelling does not make it right or does not make it stick. I remember when I was in a preaching class at Dallas Seminary, we had a very sharp teacher There would be times when us student preachers would come to a point and we would lift the volume of our voices, and we would on occasion bring our hands down, and he would raise his hand in the back of the room and said, "It's a weak point. Don't pound the pulpit." Good advice. Yelling louder doesn't make a weak point strong. I'll be honest here, and I say it only because of the grace of God, I cannot remember one time in our home when either our mom or dad yelled at us. Now, we yelled at each other just a whole lot, but our mom and dad didn't yell. In fact, when we did, we'd be called down for it, because you don't solve things by screaming. And so unwholesome words have no place in a home that's growing together. Now, here's a word that we need for number five. You with me here? Number five. Look at verse 29. It continues. Only a word as is good for edification according to the need for the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. So number five, give grace. Give grace. This will help balance out the strong side of my counsel that I gave you earlier. Give grace. Adult kids, even though they're that age, will make mistakes. They'll do things that you look at and you say, "Why on earth did you do that?" And they will answer just as they did when they were four. I don't know. Didn't you realize? No, I didn't realize. And a great response is, "You know what? I made the same choices when I was younger. I know how you feel." Adding shame to their guilt does not resolve the problem. It drives them away from you. Pointing out wrong that they already realize does not educate or edify them. It shames them. It shames them. I'll give you some very, very delicate, sensitive examples. When they've married the wrong person and then they bust up, telling him he was the wrong person doesn't help him. Giving grace is what the parent needs to do. Tell him you understand. Tell him, by the grace of God, you're still together as a husband and wife, as a mom and daddy. You don't need to preach. They know they made the wrong decision. Here's another. Buying more than they can afford. Give them grace. Of course, you never did that. We've never been upside down, huh? Haven't you looked back at times on a car and thought, "What was I thinking? What am I doing buying a Lamborghini when I've got a used Ford salary?" Choosing friends that are a bad influence. Have a heart there. So did you. So did I. Give grace to those who hear. At times, I got to tell you, it's great to follow the old cowboy's advice. Never miss an opportunity to shut up. Just shut up. I love meeting parents who know when to keep their mouths closed. You know what I find? I find a family that's growing closer together. And it's hard to do because we are so bright, so wise, and so right, and so pious. Your kids simply need to be able to fail and go on with your arm around their shoulder. Give grace. Give grace. In fact, he adds, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. There's one more, verse 31, 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander. Look at that list. Each one is a sermon. Let all of that be put away from you. Verse 32 begins with what words? Be kind. There you are. Put her down. Be kind. This sounds so innocuous, almost insipid. Oh, be kind. Cinderella was kind. It's not like that. It's not like that. It's a kindness that is a wise kindness. It's a kindness that doesn't have bitterness or argumentation or malice as a motive or slander. Because you become kind, you've developed, see what it says, a tender heart toward one another. See the other? You forgive one another. Practice it if you've not said it for a while. I forgive you. I forgive you. Learn to say that. You may come to realize, and you're going to be real personal here, you may come to realize that you have really blown it. And the distance that has happened in your family is growing, not lessening as time passes. And you and your partner may realize it's time for the two of you to sit down with your adult kids and say, we were wrong. We're so sorry. And these are the areas where we are wrong. And I want you to know we want a relationship rather than have you entertain that kind of memory for the rest of your days. Please forgive us. It's their move at that point. You can't make them forgive you, but you can request it. Children, I find, are amazing when it comes to forgiving. They learn it from us. They're better at it when they're younger, especially if they were raised in a context of kindness, tenderheartedness, and forgiveness. And remember, just like God in Christ forgives us. Some practical suggestions for what to do with this list. Memorize it. How's that for a start? Speak truth. Be passionate. Stop stealing. Quit yelling. Give grace. Be kind. Surely that's not too hard to memorize. Repeat them to yourself. Review them as couples. Second, share that with someone else, somebody who's struggling. They don't need a pat on the head. They don't need you simply to say, oh, I'm going to pray for you. They need guidance in how to get out of the mess they're in. Share the list with them. And then third, enjoy the benefits. That's a good part. You go through this process, I'm going to tell you something, men and women. There are benefits that come your way. And it's remarkable as time passes and they get older how they want to be with you. They really do want to be with you. As one of our adult kids said not long ago, we were having a great time together, and I said, you know what, I don't think we're going to be able to be there. Oh, Daddy, it's not the same without you and Mom. Whoa. I wanted to record the statement and put it in writing and frame it. It's not the same without us. What a great thing to remember. Years ago, Charles Kuralt did a piece on television, CBS correspondent. He called it On the Road with Charles Kuralt. Some of you will remember it. Wonderful back road stories of people he encountered in America that he thought were worthy of being captured on video and then later played in his program. And I dug up some of the great true stories across America. And he finally wrote a book called On the Road with Charles Kuralt. In it, he tells a story that's a true story I want you to listen to from start to finish. It's about a family in Prairie, Mississippi. He writes, a long road took 9 children out of the cotton fields, out of poverty, out of Mississippi. But roads go both ways, and this Thanksgiving weekend, they all returned. This is about Thanksgiving and coming home. One after another, and from every corner of America, the cars turned into the yard. With much cheering and much hugging, the 9 children of Alex and Mary Chandler were coming home for their parents' 50th wedding anniversary. Gloria Chandler, and there's my daddy. And she rushes to hug him. Gloria Chandler Coleman, Master of Arts, University of Missouri, a teacher in Kansas City, was home again. All 9 children had memories of a sharecropper's cabin and nothing to wear and nothing to eat. All 9 are now college graduates. Cooking the meal in the kitchen of the new house the children had built for their parents 4 years ago is Bessie Chandler Beasley, Bachelor of Arts, Tuskegee, Central Michigan dietitian at a veterans hospital, married to a PhD, and helping out in the kitchen is Princess Chandler Norman, Master of Arts, Indiana University, a school teacher in Gary, Indiana. You'll meet all of them. But first, I thought you ought to meet their parents. Alex Chandler remembers the time when he had a horse and a cow and tried to buy a mule and couldn't make the payments and lost the mule and the horse and the cow. And about that time, Cleveland, the first son, decided he wanted to go to college. Alex Chandler, we didn't have any money. And we went to town. He wanted to catch the bus to go on up there, so we went to town and borrowed $2.50 from her niece and bought him a bus ticket. And when he got there, that's all he had. From that beginning, he became Dr. Cleveland Chandler, chairman of the economics department at Howard University. How did they do it? Starting one of the poorest farms in the poorest part of the poorest state of America. We worked, Princess Chandler Norman said. You pick cotton? Asked Carol. Oh, yeah. Pick cotton, pull corn, stripped millet, dug potatoes. They all left. Luther left for the University of Omaha and went on to become the public service employment manager for Kansas City. He helped his brother James come to Omaha University and to go on to graduate work at Yale. And in his turn, James helped Herman, who graduated from Morgan State and is a technical manager in Dallas, and they helped themselves. Fortson, a Baptist minister in Pueblo, Colorado, wanted to go to Morehouse College. Fortson Chandler. I chose Morehouse, and it was difficult. I had to pick cotton all summer long to get my first month's rent and tuition. So, helping themselves and helping one another, they all went away. And now, 50 years after life began for the Chandler family in a one-room shack, in a cotton field. Just as they were sitting down in the new house to the ham and turkey and sweet potatoes and cornbread and collard greens and 2 kinds of pies and 3 kinds of cake. How good is that? Now Donald arrives, the youngest, who had driven with his family all the way down from Minneapolis, and now all the Chandlers were together. Alex said grace. Our Father in heaven, we come at this moment giving thee thanks for thou hast been so good and so kind. We want to thank thee, O God, for this, for your love, and for your Son. Thank you that you provided for all of us through all these years. Mr. Chandler begins weeping. Remembering all those years of sharecropping and going hungry and working for a white man for 50 cents a day, worrying about his children's future, remembering all that, Alex Chandler almost didn't get through the blessing. Finally, in Jesus' name, amen. Neither did the others. All the family members are now wiping away their tears. The Chandler family started with as near nothing as any family in America ever did. And so their Thanksgiving weekend might have been more thankful than most. They now began to sing, "I'll Fly Away." "I'll Fly Away" is the name of the old country hymn, Mr. Chandler's favorite. His 9 children flew away and made their places for themselves in this country. And on this weekend, they came home again. There probably are a few lessons in any of this, but I know that in the future, whenever I hear that a family is a dying institution, I'll think of them. Whenever I hear anything in America is impossible, I'll think of them. Bow with me, please. "I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away." We all will. But in the meantime, Lord, may we learn what it is to pull together, to be a family, to listen to each other and to care about each other and to love each other and forgive each other and give grace to each other. Our Father, in the hurry and pace and race of life, it is easy for us to run beyond the things that are essential and to shut down and to turn our lives into a selfish pursuit of what we want when we want it for our own purposes. Remind us, Lord, that we're a family and we're to live for one another and we're to love each other enough to tell the truth and to stop lying or yelling. Remind us, Lord, that we are to put aside those things that lead to bitterness and anger and clamor, and we're to be kind to one another. Cultivate within our homes and within our church a kindness that is disarming so that we truly love one another before we all fly away. Quieten our hearts this day with a reminder that someday all of life will be over, and all we'll have then will be our memories. Help us, dear Father, to do it well while we have our family with us. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen.
It's possible you've been listening today thinking about your adult children and the way you relate to them. Or perhaps you can visualize that day when your son or daughter leaves home for college. Chuck Swindoll's full presentation is about an hour in length, and you can hear the entire message by getting a copy of this 12-part classic series called Biblical Parenting. This study concludes Thursday. And then I'd like to draw your attention to the helpful study notes called Searching the Scriptures. The team at Insight for Living has significantly upgraded this free resource for you, and I'd encourage you to take advantage. Print out the PDF and take notes while you're listening to the CD series, or use them in your small group Bible study. To access the Searching the Scriptures guide for Chuck's daily teaching, go to insightworld.org/studies.
Thanks, Dave. Those who work in the realm of financial investments understand the acronym ROI. It means return on investment. Well, today I'm inviting you to make an investment that promises an impressive return on investment. In fact, it yields eternal rewards. You see, when you become a monthly companion, God will use your gifts to produce fruit in all those who hear the truth of God's word. Through his prophet Isaiah, God wrote this: "The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Today we're inviting you to become a monthly giver to Insight for Living Ministries by enrolling as a monthly companion. As you take this step, we're confident God will use your gift, no matter its size, to produce fruit in His people for His glory. The process for signing up is quick and simple, but the return on your investment is immeasurable as well as eternal. Thanks for responding today.
To become a monthly companion right now, if you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. With your first donation as a new monthly companion, or when you give a special one-time gift, we'll say thanks by providing a unique collection of three CDs called A Living Hope. Now, the first two CDs contain messages from Chuck on the encouraging topic of hope. And the third CD includes an inspirational concert performed by the Stonebriar Community Church Sanctuary Choir and Orchestra. It includes favorites like In Christ Alone and It Is Well With My Soul. This offer for the three CDs, again called A Living Hope, ends Friday. So don't delay. Give us a phone call. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll begins a message called What to Do When You've Blown It. That's right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Suggestions for Parenting Grown-Up Kids, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2017 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.